Coincidence, one of Mont King and Sudar. Thanks for having me, Mara Macomo, before we leave. I'm not sure how much I gave you so far, but I know we can definitely start something for sure. Right? Yeah. Okay. So, did I give enough that people are still doing them?
Yeah.
Okay, but you'll tell me how far I am, and then I'll give it all. Yeah. I also have to decide how much to do this, because I do want to move more quickly through these topics, but the problem is every one of them is pretty big. So as it turns out, as we've discussed, this little case that's here, Derek Agab, you know, it's just a really important case for understanding Kalayakarim, of course, but equally for understanding, you know, Nezek, basically. Garmi, Grama, Hezek Sheno Nikar, everything practically, but you know, Dovra Gorim Abama Kamama Dami. It turns out that this little case, as I say, is a really, really crucial case. That's evident in the way that Bali Tosis quoted all over the place, but even much more so in the Ramban's Kutristina de Garmi, which is dedicated exactly to this theme, to sorting out, you know, kind of whatever you want to call it, that next level of Hezek, where you don't have a pure, Maisa Hezek, unequivocal Maisa Hezek, you know, but there are other factors, whether it's Garmik, Grama, Dover, Hezek Shenanikar, or Dover Gorin Mama, Maisa Shoro, etc. So this case is definitely the most ubiquitous case in all of the Kutristina de Garmi, no question about that. It keeps coming up again and again. We're just going to go through the Seder very quickly. Again, the point isn't to establish how central it is, although that's important in its own right. But it apparently a linchpin understanding this case, a linchpin in understanding all of these concepts. Now, each of these concepts, of course, is massive. Again, we've spent a couple of shiurim on this. That might seem long, but the topics themselves, of course, are much more demanding and much more extensive than that. So in a way, we're kind of getting away with, it may not look that way, but we're getting away, through this topic with becoming, we're managing to be exposed to some much broader and bigger Nezek issues, agav this topic, and that's why I think it's worthwhile doing for the topic and also for what it accomplishes. So we've already discussed that, there was a controversy about Mesachech, whether it is Garmi or Maisa Hezek. That's already a discussion in the Gemara, but a Machlokas HaRishonim LaHalacha. Again, it sounds like you're doing something physical, but your physical action, because it is also about, legally, halachically, affecting. In other words, when I do a physical action that I take an axe to your valuable item, so I'm doing a physical action, and there's a Maisa Hezek, clear Maisa Hezek, and a Mazik, and a Chefzishel Hezek, and there's no time delay, and it's Bari Hezek, it's more than Bari Hezek, it's the essence of Hezek, and there's nothing to talk about. But if I'm Mesachech Gefano Shel Chavero, or if I'm Mesachech Gefen, forget about Gefano Shel, let's leave out the Osedor Shen Shaloh aspect of it. So it's true that, I've done a physical action which in the end causes hefsed, but how are you going to assess that very much depends on two things. And all these things depend on two things. Right? How you understand, what it is exactly that is taking place on a kalayim level, and that's what makes it tricky. As well as what, threshold of, action and physical action or obvious chetzah shel nezek, is required for these issues. So again, if you think that, fine, kilayakarim, of course, is a legal and it's a halakhic nezek. I mean, if you're mesachech kilayakarim of a non-Jew, that he owns, doesn't affect him. Of course, if you take an axe to his watch, it obviously does. So in that sense, it's different. But you could say that, for a Jew, just because, and that gets into the topic of Hezek She'enu Nikar a little bit, meaning it's an invisible nezek, and it's a nezek that depends on halachic status and halachic observance. But once you, you know, factor that in, then it's a maisa hezek. You know, that's one way to look at it. And what it is for a non-Jew, you know, is irrelevant for what it is for a Jew. Or no, does the fact that there's this halachic component matter? More to the point is how you look at what takes place during Kalah. I'm just repeating what we've done, but I'm just trying to make it clearer, maybe. In other words, the more we think that, you know, the physical Eruv of the Kelayim is the thing that causes, you know, Hefset or Yisra Noah, which is Hefset, then aside from that first question, what about things that are technically legal and halachic and, you know, don't apply to non-Jews or objective Nezek? Once you get past that question, then you'll say, well, you know, you're... Forget it. For a Jew, it's invisible, but it's Hefset. Maybe it's worse. Or no, because if there are other factors like Makshava, or if it's, you know, more about, especially since there's a Tosefes Masayim component, so there's, you know, it's not Miyad. It's not completely Bar Yezeka, because you could be Okered before it becomes Masayim. But even those considerations aside, even if we know that it's going to happen, it's, you know, omeid lavo, but the very fact that it still requires a process, you know, might very well mean that this is not maisa hezek, even for, you know, an observant Jew, or a non-observant Jew, for any kind of matter. Meaning it just means that what looks like a physical, you know, taking the axe and, you know, smashing the valuable item, you know, is really not that at all. It's really setting into motion a process, and then you have to figure out what's setting into motion a process. You know, what is that? Can that still be Maisa Hezek? Is it Garmi? Is it Grama? Especially the more there are things along the way that also need to, you know, to not disrupt, or even more so, if they're needed, you know, to contribute to containing, to creating the status. So then, you know, what looks like a pure physical nezek, given like a certain perspective, in the end of the day, it's misleading, because it isn't that way. It isn't that way for legal reasons. That's one example. That's only one example. That's you know, if you want to focus on mesachek and whether it's maisa hezek or garmi or grum, at minimum, it seems to be garmi. It's very possible that it's maisa hezek as well. Then once you get to, you know, not misachek, but misyaish, so you're back to square one in a way. But of course you have to coordinate these two things. Let's say misachek, our default would have been that that's maisa hezek. Come on. Right? Probably the chiddush there is to say it's garmi, although it isn't so difficult to explain that chiddush. And for the Ramban it is maisa hezek, and for, as I say, the Rush and others, it ends up being garmi. For misyaish, you know, in a case of Gedor, you know, that obviously is a lot less active, you know, than Misache. So let's say default, we would not think that that's going to be Maisa Hezek. We might even, you know, wonder why that is considered Garmi, right? And again, the more you think that, you know, this is a passive, you're setting into motion something passive and delayed and so on. And the more you think, you know, that the, you know, state of mind, you know, is depending on what you think about it, that's going to determine a lot. You know, you could still make the point that Nisyaish, you could still argue that Nisyaish is even Maisa Hezek. I mean, there are Achronim, I think the Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in Kovin Shiurim, I saw it's also quoted in the Hirschler edition of the Kuntras Dina de Garmi, I think he quotes it, who says, like, look, if you hold like the Ramban, that Yeush, right, is Gorin, the Oser, or it creates the Irvuv, you know, so why is that even Garmi? Right? Maybe it should be Maisa Hezek. Why, just because it's B'machshava? Like, a Machshava can't be a Maisa Hezek. Right? So that's, you know, kind of the opposite side. It's no different than Masachek. He's being Masachek through his Yeyush. Now, no one holds that. I mean, the sugya here seems to say that, you know, Nisya'ish is tolui on the din of Garmi. Okay. I'm just trying to show, just like it can be a view that Mesachech, you know, is Garmi, right, there can be an argument, you know, that Nisya'ish, you know, is Maisa Hezek. By the same token, we're going to read all this inside just a second, but, you know, then you have the Ramban's question. You know, again, the answer to the question, I should say, in the Kovetz Shiurim, is that, you know, in cases where Machshava is a Maisa Hezek, that's all it is, and it's direct. You know, but here again, you know, it's a combination of the Machshava, and it's not just Nichale, it's more than that, for sure. It's a combination of the Machshava and the Iruv. And for the Ramban, I think even more particularly, because, again, that's his drumbeat, that's what he keeps repeating again and again and again and again and again. It's, you know, the Yeush is Goreim the Yirvul. The Yeush is Ki'ilo the Ma'arve. So that's a tricky thing. That's not a regular case of Machshava being Maksid. The Machshava here is Koveya, you know, the Hagdara of Yirvul, which also takes time, and that's the Oser. On the other hand, you know, in a way, the Ramban, you know, is navigating between, you know, it's not Maisa Hezek, that's the Kovetz Shiurim discussion, and but he also wants to make sure it isn't Maisa Shoro, right, which is an interesting category. I mean, the Gefanim, I own the Gefanim, so this is Niske, you know, Mamono. It's, you know, my cow going out and doing damages. My Gefanim are going out and doing damages. That's the big question. That's the question. As far as I know, that's the question that the Ramban, you know, innovated. I'm not aware that anybody asked that question before the Ramban. Asher just looked up. Did somebody ask the question before the Ramban? No. Oh, okay. As far as I know, it's at least the time. I'm not saying it after having, you know, thought about it so much and researched it again. It's possible. But as far as I know, that's Ramban's question. But it's an interesting question, and again, it touches on, you know, what, you know, what role do the Kfanim, you know, play here? Are the Kfanim a Cheftza, or are they a Gavra? Right? Are they a Shor? You know, or are they just, you know, a passive piece? Right? You know, they're just as I say, a Cheftza. So that's a really interesting question. So in answering that question, we'll see inside in just a second. But the Ramban is, you know, basically, again, struggling with this issue and formulating it. Basically saying, you know, the Gefanim aren't Osa, the Gavra is Osa, the Yeush is Ma'arvev, you know, and the Yeush is Goreim the Irvuv, and that's what is Osa, not the Gefanim. He's not the Torah's the Bala Gefanim. Right? And then you have the opposite view, which is, well, you know, maybe it is a Gefanim. And from a Kilai Akarim point of view, as we've discussed, that you can make that argument. Right. But then maybe it should go totally the opposite way. Instead of saying, oh, it's Maisa Shoro, so it's not even Garmi. Right? You might end up saying, you know, oh, it's actually, you know, even if it is the Gefanim, but maybe it's not the Gefanim directly, because again, there's a time lag. There's a non-bori, you know, there's still an irvuv that's necessary, so maybe it's, you know, it's gram shoro, you know, so it is shoro, but it's not niske mamon, it's, you know, grama de shoro, right, which is what he quotes as yesh mefarshim. Right. Then the Ramban says, but if that's, you know, that doesn't really fit in either. Right, if that were the case, then we wouldn't be able to explain certain other phenomena. Okay, so the big point I'm trying to make here is that the range of views of how you look at Mesachech, how you look at Nisya'ish, how you plug that in to, you know, Maisa Hezek, Grama, Maisa Shoro, etc., you know, these are always dual questions. They are questions about, you know, very subtle questions about how Kilai Karen, you know, becomes Asur, issues that we've discussed, and they are also questions of what the threshold really is that divides, and that, of course, is the, you know, the background bigger question here, you know, all these categories, because we know the classical case of Mycense, you know, as I said, you know, something that is unequivocal and that is universal, and where there's a Mysa and a Chatzishol Nezek, and it's all, you know, objectively discernible. We also know some Garmi cases, you know. Apparently, this Kelai Karim case is a Garmi case. That's one of the things that everybody's struggling about. Okay, but like there are some other unequivocal Garmi cases. Soref Shtarosa Shal Chaveiro, right? And but again, it's a little bit harder to figure out what is it about those cases, you know, that make them, you know, Garmi. So we'll talk about that for a minute or so. Then we have, you know, things like, we know the classic Maisa Shoro. We also know the classic, you know, Hezek Sheino Nikar, right? The Tame and, you know, the Damea. But, again, that's another question, right? Hezek Sheino Nikar, Lo Shema Hezek, you know, and the Tame is included, and there's a Sheret sitting on top of the, you know, of the Taharos, you know, that's still considered Hezek Sheino Nikar. You know, why is Kilaya Karim, you know, Chayev? Right? That's also Hezek Sheino Nikar, isn't it? Or why is it not? Obviously it is Hezek Nikar. Again, so one answer you could have given would have been to say, you know, that, well, in the end of the day, it, you know, if you hold Garmi, maybe you also hold Hezek Sheino Nikar Shema Hezek. Right? Why? What's the connection? The connection being obvious. That is, you know, once you expand, you know, responsibility and accountability, you know, then maybe you expand it in more than one direction. Right? That's number one. Not a bad argument, right? If you're a strict constructionist in what constitutes, you know, Maisan Chefzeh Shel Nezek, or that you need Chefzeh Shel Nezek, as opposed to Hefzeh, then that's one thing. You know, and if you're expansive in one area, maybe you're also more liberal and flexible in another area. But even more to the case, more to the point, that's one approach in terms of tying them together. A second approach is even a more, you know, direct connection. And that is, maybe if Garmi is Chayiv, we'll get to back to this. Garmi is Chayiv because it, you don't really require Maisa Hezek, a Maisa Biadayim. It's enough that you be, you know, sufficiently directly responsible for the Hefzeh. Okay, so it's not a Maisa Hezek, which is Mechayiv you. It's, you know, being Achra'i ala Hefzeh, you know, which is Mechayiv. That's what Garmi really means. That's a question, of course. So then to say, oh, if you hold Garmi, you probably hold Hezek Sheino Nikar Shema Hezek, because you definitely caused a Hefzeh. Let's say I'm the Tame, right? So the guy can't use the Skafitz anymore, or his use is much more limited. At the end of the day, do I really care about the formalities, you know, of Dine Hezek, or do I just care that I am solely or sufficiently responsible for this Hefzeh? So if you hold like Garmi, you probably hold Hezek Sheino Nikar, you know, Shema Hezek too, which is a view of some Rishonim. And it's certainly the view that Rishonim, Bali Tosis and Ramban and so on, come to exclude. I mean, they come to exclude it because, you know, they're Yeshin Dvarim and Begol, there's something to it. And that is the point. It's either you've very much relaxed the standards, right? Or it's not even that. It's the Mechayev, it's Hefzeh, not Hezek or Nezek or Maisa Hezek, etc. If not, and the Ramban and both Bali Tosis end up saying, nah, you're not true. You know, and again, the evidence in the sugyas implies not true. The different, you know, Amand Amrim implies, you know, not true. Again, Reb Shimon is the, you know, he's the Dora Gora Mamun Kamalun person, and Reb Meir is the Dina de Garmi person, and so on and so forth. And, you know, Hezek Sheino Nikar seems separate from that. So then the question, why? Why is it separate? That's when you are forced to, you know, define more carefully, based on the paradigm cases, and then examining the exceptional cases, right, to try to figure out, you know, you could have thought that all Hezek Sheino Nikar just means halachic, damage, not physical damage. Right? Legal. Damage due to legal status, right? Not damage due to any kind of physical change. So, paslaso medina, you know, again, tzorim ozen b'chor, right? Because that's a halachic legal status. It's not relevant to the animal, you know. So, the tame, of course, the dameya, you know, chametz, you know, basa b'chalav, right? It's all halachic. It's all status oriented. All that is hezek sheinu nikar. That makes a lot of sense. That's the assumption, almost the assumption, in almost all cases, of the questions that the Rishonim analyze. Like, why isn't this and that? And the next thing also has a chain of nikar. After all, right? It's not a broken watch. But once, you know, the conclusion is, you know, yeah, hezek sheinu nikar, you know, loshma hezek is only a din derabanan. Or, you know, yeah, if you hold, you know, garmi, or maybe, you know, never gar garmi kamamun dami, then you're also not going to require hezek nikar, if that isn't the answer. So then you are forced, you know, to look at all these cases and to fine-tune what you consider to be the problem with hezek sheinu nikar. Apparently it's not true simply that it isn't objective, you know, physical nezek. The fact that something is a legal status per se, the halachic status, does not inoculate it, you know, from the din, you know, of hezek sheinu nikar. Right? Something can be halachic, you know, and it can still be hezek nikar. Kilaya karen. Right? And this got Tzor Bozen Bechor, there's a debate about it. So then what is that? You know, so that causes you to look again, just like with Garmi, just like with, you know, Maisa Hezek, and just like with Maisa Shoro, it pushes you, right, to analyze these two different, you know, aspects of the case. Number one, what do you think about Hezek Sheinu Nikar, you know, across the board? I mean, that has to fit in with other cases. So is it, Hezek Sheinu Nikar is about, you know, the discernibility of the hefsid, like it's, you know, you can tell, right, that there's hefsid. Like it's nikar that there's hefsid. And even that question is, what does that mean? But that's mostly kind of the view of the Baalei Tosfos. The hefsid is discernible. Or do you need, right, the actual hefsid shel nezek to be discernible? Which seems to be more the view of the Ramban. Right? Not that when you look what you're looking at, you can know that there was a hefsid, but you actually can see the halachic hefsid shel nezek. But that, when you say those words, the halachic hefsid shel nezek, you know, so then you are in very, you know, subtle territory, you know, and you're very, very much dependent, you know, in each case, how you assess, you know, what's going on. So, for example, you know, Kilaya Karim, as everything we've been saying about all the things we've been talking about, you know, Mitchila V'Yadsof, you know, about how we look at what's happening there, you know, is going to be, when you see the Irvuv, you know, of the Minim, you know, what are you really seeing? If those are just the heichet timtzis of something being asur, that's different than if it's really the chafza shel nezek. Which is why I don't think it's a coincidence. This is what Eitan asked me to clarify after the shir the other day, right? Which is what I was saying about the Ramban. Now I'm going to go through all the Rambans very quickly, but the what I was saying about the Ramban, he asked me, was about Kalaya Karim or about hezek sheinu nikar. You know, especially in contrast to Tosis. So what I was trying to say was, I think that there are both aspects, and I do. So again, Tosis' view is that, you know, when you look at the Kilaya Karim, you know, you could tell there's that it's also Bahadur. Not because what you're seeing is the Oser, the Nezek, the Hezek or the Nezek. Right? But for Bali Tosis, it's what you're seeing, you know, it's clear that there's Nezek. Masha Enkein, right, a Sheretz on top. Of course, if you don't have a Sheretz on the Tumah, but it's Nistame, you know, then it's totally invisible. You can't see anything. You can't know that there's accident. Kamishmaya Galya, or if you happen to know, you know, maybe you did it, but it's no longer there or something. You know, that's Pasha. And that's Hezek Sheni. But let's say the Sheretz is sitting on top. So that's where Tosis comes up with the idea. Now let's say the Sheretz is sitting on top. That's not the Chepzah Shel Nezek. I mean, whether the Sheretz contaminates that could be the Maisa Nezek or Maisa Hezek. Not the Chepzah Shel Nezek. The Chepzah Shel Nezek is the Tumah. If you take the Sheretz, I mean, some of the Achronim point out that at least when there's a Sheretz, you know, let's analyze the two cases for a minute. You know, compare Kelayat Kerem and Sheretz, let's say. So as a critical moment, you could argue, and whether this argument is true or not, depends on everything we've been discussing, right? So as a critical moment, you could say there's a clearer, discernible critical moment in Tumah than there is in Kelayat. Right? Why? Because in Tumah, whatever the Maisa Tumah, you know, takes place, whatever the contamination takes place, that's it. It's Tumah. It's Miyad. It's not just Bari. It is. That's what it is. It's Miyad. It's that's the Matame. If you're talking about a halachic critical action or moment, it's the Maisa Tumah, being Matame. In Kelayat Kerem, do you have that? Right? Depends on everything we've been talking about. When is that? The Nisyaish? You know? At the moment of what? When it crosses the Rubicon into Tosefes and Masayan. Again, according to the Rush, it's Kelayan. Even before it hits Tosefes Masayan, Tosefes Masayan is just what makes it, you know, that's the stage of Iser. But is it Bittul before that? Kamakama Bata, everything we've been discussing. So certainly, I would say like this. I think it's safe to say that as a matter of, let's say, instinct, right, the Tumah, there's a more obvious metame, you know, both as an act and as a moment, than there is, you know, an Oser in Kelayat Kerem. But that's in terms of being visible. You might say, no, if you really understand Columbus, Kelayat Kerem really, really well, it's not true. The moment of the Yeush is the Gorim Ha'iser. Gorim Ha'iser. It's Kobeya the Irbu. Okay. But again, it's still, I think you could argue about it. Maybe it's enough. But if you had to choose it instinctively, that's certainly how you would go. However, if you're talking about, and therefore, if you're talking about, you know, the Maisa Hamatame, that's clear. And if you're talking about, Hefsed, you know, maybe that's clear, all things being equal, right? Then you need the Bali Tosis to tell you, yeah, but, you know, since we don't know there was Heksher, so we don't know there was a Matame, we know there was a Sheretz on the Tavua or whatever, but we don't know really there was a Matame, and then the whole thing is just, you know, forget about it. There's no discernible Hefsed. There's no discernible Oser, there's no discernible Hapsen. That's the Chiddush of Bali Tosis. You might say the Hechsher, that's kind of a... Of course, it's a sine qua non, but, you know, that's kind of a pre-step. You know, that's what we're... That, right? You know, I mean, that's what we were talking about the other day. When it comes to the Kelayat Kerem, as I say, you have, you know, a much more... much bigger challenge on your hand to say that there's a moment... You know, that it's discernible, you know, because of all the factors that we're talking about, and therefore you could argue the case along this, but you know, good luck, and you might succeed, you know, but it's still pretty short of matana. It might be enough, but it's still short. But on the other hand, again, forget about the heksher, you know, the sheretz being on the tumah just ascertains the hefsed. It has nothing to do, right, with the nezek, right? It's on or not. What's a touchstone? And then you can throw it away, and it can stay there or not stay there, right? On the other hand, the kilaya kerem, right? You don't have that moment, and you don't have that, you know, kind of an oser necessarily, in all the things we talked about, but you might say that the irvuv akilayim is staring you in the face. That's the chefza shalneze. That's the chalos kilayim that's usur. The chalos tumah's not staring you in the face. The batane might be, or the yedias hefsed, if not for the hefsher issue. So, you know, what we're kind of saying then for the Ramban is that, number one, you know, kilayim kerem works a certain way that the chetzah shel nezek is visible. And number two, that's what's koveya for hezek nikar as opposed to hezek shenid. Now, of course, the intriguing thing along the way, you know, is also this question. Like, let's say you have some you know, sine qua non, some, you know, required other factor, you know, that is ma'akev, a process, like hechsher in tumah, right? Or, you know, nichale if you need it, or lo nichale if it's ma'akev in kilaya kerem. So what are you going to say about that? That's why weren't Tosas bothered? Tosas says, oh, you can see the kilaya kerem, it's there, it's not talking about the nezek, he's talking about the hechsher. But how do you know that there was Nisyaish? So if that's why, again, going back to Yoni's question the other day, that's why I think Bali Tosas are assuming, you know, if there's a makshava problem that's makshir, the kilaya kerem, you know, or that makes it not us, or that's kind of an extraneous truth. So that's really different. That's not exact. That wouldn't say, oh, you know, it's tamei, but nebuch, there was no hechsher, so. No, so it's not us. It wouldn't say that, right? It can't become tame without the heksher. Now, whether or not that means that the heksher is playing a bigger role, that's what Yoni was asking the other day, and that's a really interesting and important question for Tum. But if you say that, you know, the makshavah kliyat kerem is a factor that explains any of the osur dam shem shelo, and it explains the mishnayos in, you know, in kelayim and so on and so forth, you know, but it's still an extra. Okay. But again, for somebody like the Ramban, you know, who really thinks that it's not an extraneous factor, it's the oser, or at least the magdir of irvuv, you know, so I think you can also understand why he didn't want to go the route, in addition to, you know, not thinking that that's the pshat and hezek shenid. Okay? So that's why his focus on, oh, it's a shinui, it's, you know, ayin zeshinu yachozer, even that? Shinu yachozer lebriyaso? In this case, you know, the shinui is omein until it's chozer. Because you're still a visible chetzah shel nezek. Okay, so this is basically what I want to point out, you know, when it comes to these things. So I want to go through them very quickly, just to show the range for a couple of minutes, and then I want to talk about one or two other things, or maybe I'll do that along the way. And then let's move on to Kinyan Dvar. Okay. So the first one, I think we discussed already. The first one is the question of, you know, is Misachech Garmi or Ma'ase Hezek? Good. Is the, right, that's on page one here, I'm using the Arshler edition. Right? That we did already, so we don't need to do that again. You know, then comes the interesting question, which I think is Ramban's, maybe not. This is on page, again, I don't know if you have this edition, 109 to 110. Sui kelemei dakeka shamina mehai masisin to daini dina digarmi, ha mamonahu da'azin, shagfanim shalo, right, heim shalochim misarvim, im tuvasa shal chaveiro, umacha shalom lindor mepnei ha'isur, ulo aminan ala nizak laharchik, amai lo lechalit mekul alma, ashorohu, lo topach biyapeh, very strong formulations. Farkinen de la mitzvah machmas irvuv lechude elam nation siyai shmiligdar biyusho hu agorim ha'isar hu agorim lehiskayin. So again, we don't need to, we've discussed it. Aval bishosif mutar mepeshal nesiyai shmiday talakor yiusho umachshav tehusha osro husha chayiv l'sham. Tach tir tzorav de mitzvah atzorfati already made the ha'ara that I think he's, you know, perceives his own significant extension of Bali Tosis in the Bali Tosis, which is a very common phenomenon and a charitable one. V'ikid esolik adayte tzutze shayni hokashen kandezik ala machmas groma shaf and gefanim shalo in a mazikinus atvu ala shen gorman li iso sheyava. Very subtle. That's the opposite one. And this is, you know, it's not maisa shoro. It's also not Maisav Agav Shoro, right? Which is kind of what his answer is. It's, you know, Shoro, who that started a Tahdich, which Mimela is going to end up in a place where there's going to be Chefza Shalisa. Right? And then you have the, again, and the Kovetz Yurim is questionable. What about Makshavto being a Maisa Heza? So you have the total full range of, you know, in our case, Maisa Hezek, Garmi, right? Maisa Shoro, Gram Shoro. Okay. That's what I want to point out. So that comes here. Vadayin Tzrichin. By the Diber Rav Yitzchak, Shem Ken Havelei Hezek Sheino Nikar. We'll get back to that. That's also very fascinating. Meaning, if it were true, this is an important line. If it were true that, you know, the Gavra and his Irvuv were not the Oser through his Yiyush, but it was just like setting off this process that Mimela ends up intermingling, you know, whatever, that would be Hezek Sheino Nikar. Meaning, it would just be the Tosefas Basayim. There wouldn't be a moment, and it wouldn't really be a Chefza Shal Nezek. It would just be a din. Velo Shmei Hezek, Ela Knasa. Ela Vadei Ha'irvuvu HaHezek, Ukeshoro Nagach Dami. But then, of course, you have the Shoro question. That's what you need. Ve'od Shimken Havale Gromas Mamono. U'mamona Hagorim Hezek, Emeinu Mazik Mamish Potur. Mazik Omer L'Shor Shanafa L'Bar. Hafagav V'dainin Adid D'Garmi. Ve'od Hav Samach, right, the Sichech, it probably should say, right? Is that right? What do you have here? Yeah. Efshe Shetzor Chomer B'Sichech B'Mesachech. V'od Shem B'Sachech Harmina Mazik B'Adayim. Halalohi Zikala Shegorem Lehezek Sheyavo. He's saying, if you want to interpret like these Yesh M'Farshim, that, you know, Kilai Karim works in a different way, then even B'Sachech, right, it's not going to be Maisi Adayim. L'fikech N'olir B'Zele K'divrei Harav Rabbi Yitzchak HaTzorfati. Okay. One second. Then he transitions into an interesting discussion of the relationship between Dover HaGoreim L'Momon and Garmi, which I'm not going to analyze extensively now, but that's a huge topic in the Bali Tosis all throughout Shas. Like, why is one Rav Shimon and the others Rav Meir? Why are there indications that you can go in either direction? Aren't they the same, Dover HaGoreim L'Momon and Garmi? So the answer is, Dover HaGoreim L'Momon is typically Be'ikaro Shel Momon. That's a day of the Gemara. And even if you don't need Ikaro Momon, the principle of Ikaro Momon, this is very interesting thinking of the Ramban, you know, is still true. Meaning, the issue of Dover HaGoreim L'Momon is to establish my bailus, or that what you're doing for you is mamon. The Gabi Rav Shimon, even if you hold Rav Shimon holds that Dover She'eni Karo mamon, Sorev Shorosov Shel Chavero, Hani Mili Besorev Shu Kesorev Mamono Shel Chavero, Shari Ma'achar Dover going the mamon, Kamamon, Hashtar Choshuv Kikis Male Ma'os, Vuhu Mazik Velogorim, Avalagorim Lehefsed Mamon below Maisa Kagon. What's the example that's going to bring? It's on page 113. Mechitzas Karen, Sheyeusho Hu Hagorim, right? L'Rab Shimon, meaning Davar Garon Lom Kamamundami, Pator, but the Kaimelon Prabi Meir. Below Kaimelon, and so on, Ardina, etc., etc. So again, even when he's talking about Hezek, when he's talking about the relationship between Garmi and Davar Garon Lom, what he's saying is that Garmi is indirect Hezek, and or Hezek, you know, where, which is augmented, let's say, by some grama, which we'll discuss it again in just a minute. Davar Garon Lom is typically either about who the real Bailam are, like Rav Shimon, right? The Chasim Shechayim Ba'achrayusa. Okay, if you have to pay for it, so then, even though it's Kudshin, right, but it's coming out of your bank account, you know, so that makes it for you a Chetza Shel Mamon, or you, the Bailam over the Mamon. Okay, that has nothing to do with Kelei Kerem. But once again, Kelei Kerem is invoked in order, right, to establish, you know, this this principle. Okay. So then, just to move along quickly, Atahuk Shalom, this is on page 115. Atahuk Shalom, Yaka de Kaimelon, Krabi Meir, the Doin, Dina de Garmi, Alamatan Hamatamea, Hamadamea, Hamanasech, right? Bemezid Chai Vishogeg Potter, right? Ubishogeg Amai Potter, or Dina, Dina de Garmi. So the question is like, how is there a Hezek and an Ikar? You know, Lo Shema Hezek, if Doin, Dina de Garmi, as I mentioned before. So, Shum HaKush, I'm skipping now. Ikel Man De Amar, Had De Doin Rameir, Dina De Garmi, Mishum Knasahu De Doin, Velav Dina De Raisa, Yukuk Peshogeg Potter Mishum Gorin. Okay? Meaning, the whole Dina De Garmi is only a Din Drabanan. And since it's a Din Drabanan, it doesn't affect, you know, Hezek She'ino Nika. That is a very popular view, right, in the Balei Tosfos and others. Of course, it's very disappointing. You know, the Ramban is not going to be happy with that. But what's, you know, everything has to get plugged into, right? Kelei Kerem. Nifritza Omrim Lo Gedor. Nifritza Omrim Lo Gedor is on the page of bottom page 116 in that edition. Why? Klomar. She'il, the Hasra of Gedor, if you take the, you know, this view that Garmi, you know, there's a difference between Mezid and Shogeg because it's all only Drabanan, so then the Gedor Hasra is a way of establishing Shogeg and Mezid, right? Klomar, She'ilu, right? Lo, Hisrinubo, Duma Shogeg, Guam Miftar. Hey, that's an interesting shot. It's all got to stick in. And then he says, Kasafti, I'm skipping now, I'm on page 117. Kasafti zos hasvara ve'eina nechon. Okay. Which is very, again, open-minded. He's going through the different views, you know, but also he has strong views. Elavadai dinahu. Garmi is not drabanan. Right? And then many rayas that it's not drabanan. Elatamayim mishum the Goreim Hezek, right? She'eino Nikar Potter. Meaning, there are two different issues. One is, can Goreim of any sort be Chayiv? And we still have to pin that down a little better. That's the issue of Garmi. And the second is, Goreim what? Is there some sort of standard of Heftza Shel Nezek required? As opposed to Hefzad B'Yam. Again, the assumption, you know, that Garmi and Hezek Shein Nika are connected, you know, presupposes, as I say, either once you're relaxing standards, you know, for one category, let's say the Maisa Hezek, you're being expansive, you're also going to relax standards for Chafsa Shel Nezek. Or, more likely, it's based on the assumption that if you can be Mechayiv somebody in the absence of Maisa Hezek, and that's because you're looking at the bottom line, you're being more pragmatic, you're being Mechayiv because of Hefzad, then there's no difference between Garmi and Hezek Shein Nika. If anything, probably make a stronger case for being Mechayiv Hezek Shein Nika, right, than Garmi. Because Garmi, there's usually some other factor, you know, to blame or to share, responsibility, even from a Hefson point of view, and say, I didn't do it alone. You know, I put something in motion. There are other factors, contributing factors. People, you know, mimela, whatever. But Hezekshen and Nikar, that's a purely formalistic, you know, requirement. Right? So what he's saying is, Tamayim Mishum de Gorim Hezekshen and Nikar Pator. The Gorim isn't the problem. You really do need Nezek. Oh, and then he elaborates. The Hanech Pirkei de Parchinu Melma on page 119. Below klum, the hakim mefarkin of them. Have yodeya shabner saver shagorim hezek afa bishalo asa maisa biadayim chayiv v'hainu dina de garmi. This is the Ramban's formulation. Okay, that's a very fascinating formulation. It's like very nuanced, right? It's right in the middle. He's not saying that gorim hefsed. He's not saying that garmi spans the definition of maisa hezek biadayim, right? So there's something called maisa hezek biadayim. There's something else called goreim hefsed, and then there's something called goreim hezek. But what's not clear is afa pishala osa maisa biadayim chayev or afa pishala osa maisa biadayim. Is that also considered a Maisa Hezek? Is it an extension of Maisa Hezek, even though there's an acknowledgement that it doesn't constitute Biadayim? And if so, are there two levels? Is the Ramban conceding Maisa Hezek as long as you're Goreim Hezek as opposed to Goreim Hefsed? Very unclear. But this, of course, is the question in general. Anybody holds Doin Dina de Garmi. And what you'll do is you'll find different formulations. In Rishonim, we would have, we talk about Gira Delay, other things, but sometimes you'll find Garmi is Ki'ilu Asa Biyadayim. And other times you'll find Garmi is Chayiv Afa Pi Shelo Asa Biyadayim, or Biglal Shegaram Galadam. So in between Gram Hefsed, even singular Gram Hefsed, even almost exclusive Gram Hefsed, okay, and Maisa Biyadayim, there's an ambiguity, whether Maisa Agoreim, or Goreim, Hezek B'li Maisa is what the Ramban is talking about. And they're an afkamina. We'll see. Avami Shalo, this is following through, Avami Shalo Goram Hezek Lochi of Rabbi Meir. Lefika hametame, v'hamedabea, v'hamenasech, v'kol hezek she'eino nikar, potur menadin. Lefi she'ein hezek. Right? It's hefsed, but it's not chefse shel hezek. Right? And it may be discernible, even a hefsed may even be discernible. And the mafsid may be discernible, or the mazik. But it's not hezek or nezek. Lo machmas gramaso, the lo machmas maisav. He's still calling garmi here gramaso. Aval b'mechitza sakeren shenifritza. Remember that? Harayesh machmas yeusho, shehu gorim irvuv, shehu mevatel hashura, right? Plucked right out of the Ramban above Basra also. The oser tvuaso shalzeh, like a triple formulation, totally within the Ramban's orbit. Again, the Hezek Nikar who? Kelaya Karim is Hezek Nikar because, right, there's Irvuv, which has been transformed into a Mazik by the Yeush, by being Mavatal the Shura. The Hezek Nikar, Shema'achar Shenis Yaish, Ha'irvuv Osro, the Isuro Nikar Lakol. The Afapishata Yocho Lakara Gefanim, say, oh, but you can turn back the clock. Right? And then it won't be Nikar Lakol, even though it'll still be Asur. Just like you could take away the Sheretz, and no one will know. Velo Yeha Isa Nikar Sham, Shini Achoza Labriyasa Vikagom Zu, Shinu Yud. What do you mean? I mean, the Sugya of Shini Achoza Labriyasa you know, it's mostly about a comma issue, right? So either you pass good shini achozel b'brasa shmishi. If we're talking about shini konev, so shini achozel b'brasa often is losh mashini, unless it's some sort of combination. I'm not going to get into that. It's like a gozel kama, you know, issue. Right? And it has other consequences. And zona, you know, all sorts of, a bunch of other issues, as the Gemara elaborates in the beginning of Kava Gozel. So what does he mean? But here he means Hezek Sheni Nikar means the Hezek or the Nezek is Nikar. The Nezek is Nikar. It's because you can hide it. If you hide it, you hide it. But right now, it's Nikar. Right? And even if you're hiding it, it was Nikar. It doesn't need to be Nikar. It's not a question of knowing the Hefzer. It's a question of whether the Hefzer shall need. It's a standard. You have to be Mazik, or at least Gorei Mahezek. And therefore, there has to be Hezek. Chefza shall has it. That's what it is. Bari nasibo maisa nikar bigramaso shall say. This is like a study in Salah language, especially when it speaks about Kilayak Aram. But again and again. Velo domi lemetame da agabu sheretz. That's a moment. That's an oser. It might be even a mazik, but it's not chefza shall. Shai irvuv. Shinuihu, Acha the Machzira Libriyaso. Right? Here, the Irvuv is a Shinu. You want to undo it, you can undo it, but even if you undo it, it was there, no denying. But Metame, in the Sheretz, there's a Metame, but there's no Nikar Chefza Shaltuma. Yeshlomer, the high Nami, Hezek Shenu Nikar, who? Ubishim Knossa Machai Rav Meir, other people say. That's just a repeat of, you know, what he said before. He says, but I think it's wrong. Now I'm skipping to the end of page 120. This is a very key line. Whenever there's a chiv maisa biyadayim, according to the Chachamim, Chayiv b'grama l'Rabbi Meir. Now, is that another way of saying, because Maisa grama, you know, is also Maisa? It's also very important that the Ramban seems to be not denying what he could have embraced, although I'm not sure that he has to completely deny it, and that is, can there be discrepancies, according to the Ramban, between Garmi and Maisa b'Yadayim? Acknowledging that Garmi is not Maisa B'Yadayim, right? Does that require you to say, because we don't care about Maisa B'Yadayim, and Gorei Mahezek is just as good, or what's important about Maisa B'Yadayim is Gorei Mahezek? In which case, whenever the Rabbanon say, you know, Maisa B'Yadayim, we can extend to Gorei Mahezek, because it is the equivalent, or because that's what is important about Maisa B'Yadayim. Per se, Maisa B'Yadayim is not important. Or, you could have said, even the Ramban is basically, if you want to know whether Chayiv or Patur, Chayiv Medina de Degarmi. And that's Maisa Gorim Hesek, or Gorim Hesek. That doesn't mean that there still can't be differences. You can't acknowledge, you know, that Maisa B'Yadayim isn't a higher level or a different level. So I'm not sure when he says kol shulaver kol shachayim. He says kol shachayim. The ma'is be'adayim rabban chayim begrabel rabbeinu. This is a way of saying, you know, what's important is that, not the other. Or what garmi does is it expands the hagdara of ma'isa, even if it isn't be'adayim. Or is he just saying that you're chayim, right? But he's not excluding that there isn't a hierarchy. Not sure. The application, you know, is innocuous. What's the application? Kol ha'patur b'maisa mamish l'rabbanon. That for sure. Kigon hezek shein anikar patur l'rab meir b'grama. Because if you want to know, don't think that garmi, paskin in garmi, you know, has implications that expand you know, other categories, or that make the formality of other categories inconsequential, and that all we care about is hefsid, like you said before, that is not true. Whatever the Chachamim standards are for Maisa V'Yadayim, those same standards apply, right, at least L'Chumra. But I would have thought that there, and I'm not sure that there isn't, that you can't say L'Kula that there are still differences, if you know what I'm saying. Meaning that when you have Garmi and not Maisa V'Yadayim, you know, maybe you need to overcompensate a little as opposed to Maisa V'Yadayim in certain cases. You know, it's Kol HaChayev and Kol HaPater, but the example is Hezek Shein HaNikar. V'hu Adin B'Maisa Mamish Shelohiyev Rav Meir Elagorem Hezek V'Ein Kan Hezek Ma'achar She'eino Nikar L'Shitasa. Hezek Shein HaNikar is a problem in Chefetz HaShel Nezek V'Hezek. The testing mechanism, you know, is very helpful. You know, Dina de Garmi doesn't change any of the Chachamim's rules. You just plug it in. I'm just mistapek, you know, A, whether you have to say that, B, whether that means that he's completely denying, you know, a madregos. Ubigramanami chayev l'din Rabbi Meir. Listen to this one. This part of our exact question and presentation. Shehagoreim keosa maisa dami. What does that mean? Right? That can mean one of three things. Right? What's significant in osa maisa biadayim is, you know, pure goreim, or the exclusiveness of the goreim. Goreim is ka'osa maisa, or goreim, like osa maisa, is chayev. Right? But it isn't osa maisa v'yadayim. Hard to know. The chayin nami asor shtros shel chaveiro. Okay. So this, of course, this question, just to take a minute, as I say, you'll find l'shonus r'mishon, like Tosis Rin. Right, Tosis actually here speaks about gilui delay. He has like two very options. We'll get to the gilui in a minute. Osa biyadayim, or it's, you know, not kosa biyadayim. But if you look at Rishonim in different places about Garmi, you'll find some, like the Adarma, that we read the other day, was emphasizing, you know, what he called the Grama, but Garmi, he's talking about Garmi probably, but if he makes a distinction, no maisa at all. You're not saying, oh, the expectation of build a wall and he doesn't is kosa, you know, maisa biyadayim. The Bach, actually, when he was, you know, championing the Rama, you know, Ad Kedei Kach, that, like, you know, Tmihani al Arash, which is a little, and that's what the Shach called him out on for, you know, was saying, it's Bar Yezeka, it's Miad, it's a Maisa Hezek. It's Al Shevel Pas. Anyways, that's the thing to look out for. So, for example, there could be actual many nafkamina, but yeah.
What exactly would qualify as why is the Meir?
Why would it be a Chafzah Shel Hezek? Because he thinks that the Irvub is the Chafzah Shel Hezek, just that the Yeish is what's goring the Irvub. But Chefzah Shel Irvuv HaKelayim is the Hezek. It's not just the conditions for Isur HaNar.
Yeah, if the Sheeta says Ram Shora, why can't you change?
Well, he does. What do you mean Gram Shoro? He doesn't hold that way. He does. That's why he doesn't like it. He says if it were that, it would be. The Ramban says if it were Gram Shoro, or, you know, number one, he says, if it was a Mela kind of a thing, says the Ramban, then it would be Hezek Shein HaNikar. That's his first argument. That's exactly what...
Why can't...
You're asking me, why wouldn't it be Hezek Shein HaNikar if it was Gram Shoro then?
I'm saying maybe they'll say it's
But I'm saying that's exactly what the Ramban asks. The Ramban says, if you want to take this Yeshiva Farshim, which I don't like at all, right, then you're going to have to deal with two problems. Number one, it's Gram Shoro, and Gram Shoro is patur. But that's a second problem. The first problem is that then it's hezek sheino nikar. Because because then what he's saying is the mice, he assumes, I hear what you're asking, he assumes that if the mice iruv is not the oser, that it's also probably not the chafsa shel hezek. He's assuming that the yeush, it's the act of being ma'arvev, which is the both the maisa and the chafsa shel hezek. Whereas if it's more, just like a basa b'chalav kind of a thing, then that's like a davar to be mela, and it's not a physical thing, it's just like an invisible, certain amount of because remember, Tosefes Pesayim is never nikar. Right? Not visibly. Right? And especially not if you hold like most Rishonim do, that you'll break it up with a little gedor in between. So proximity and that not either, because you never know. So I think he's saying something really profound, and that is, if Yeush isn't Irvuv, the Oser, the Mazik, then we don't look at Irvuv as the Chafetz Shel Hezek either. It's like Toma. But that's the line. I don't know if you... That's exactly what... I mean, what you're asking, it's good you're asking, but that's exactly what he was... exactly what he was saying. It was here, page 3. Sorry. He says, if you don't hold like Rav Yitzchak, which is his thing, he's on page 111. She'im kein havala hezek sheino nikar. Right? So you're saying why? I'm trying to explain why. Because we're just looking at the whole thing, like Basu B'chalaf. We're not looking at, it's the instantiate, the Maisa is the Oser, the Maisa is Nikar, the Maisa is in front of us. It's the Erev of all Yideyush. Not that you can see it, doesn't matter that you can see it. It's that there is a Maisa, there is a Chafetz Shel Hezek. The Ramban is walking a very fine line of the evidence. And that's why he keeps the Yeush is going the ear of the to the Oser, which is the Chafetz Shel Hezek. He's trying to say that while there is like a march, of these two, minim, to come together, it's the presiding over that and allowing it and encouraging it implicitly. That is the ma'arvev, the ma'isa hezek, and the chafetz shel hezek too. It's not kidashi. Remember, l'shitaso in his parish on Baba Basra, like for Tosas, the gedor and even the yeush, some of it at least has to do with, chiyuv. For the Ramban, it all has to do with kidesh. I think it's very consistent. And that's what he meant earlier. Because he could have said, what's up to with Hezek Shen and Nikar? But I think it does. With Shitaso, totally does. Okay. So, where are we up to? Where am I up to? Page 121? Oh, so then he gets back to Kilayim again. Page 121. Vizusha Shmiya Benishnas Rabbi Chiyav Raboshia Omer Lo Gedor. Right? Remember, that was the if you hold the whole Garmi and the Hezek Shein and Nikar, Tal Drabban on their Shogig and his Mazin. Elimipnei, by the way, there's another one, right? Elimipnei Shein and Nesar Elim Kein Hisrubo. The Gedor for the Ramban, this is the Ramban Lashitaso against Tosis. Lashitaso and Baba Basra, 2-3 times above Basra, right? That even the gedor is a din in kidesh, not a din in chayiv. Elim b'nei shein nezar, elim kein hisrobo. The mistama lo nichalei de l'sariv karma b'tvasa shol chaveru. The daito lakor. These again, all things that we've discussed already. Alpha gav detan elach lebeisiv yachzar. Alma b'yirsh kedi mitzar. Hasan b'nichalei l'tayim yarek shalom. Aval beirvuv karmo mitzvasa shukaveiro lo nichalei v'day talakar shema sabru shahala nami chayiv ligdor, etc. Okay, now, I wanted to say something about the garmi question for one more minute. I say you'll find all over the place, like different nuschaos, including our sugya. Listen, there's a little bit of an issue in the Rambam also. I think we talked in the very, very beginning of the sugya, you know, that the Rambam never quotes the din of Chai Bachor Yuso, because he's very into the Einu Nemosa Davar Sheinu Shelo part of the sugya, in the Sachek, but also in the Siyaich, as the Nosei Kelim point out. But some of the Nosei Kelim have a little bit of a problem with the Rambam. Because even though the Rambam generally paskins Einu Nemosa Davar Sheinu Shelo, and that's what he's paskining in the Kelayim case as well, he does typically distinguish, not everybody does, between an Iser or an Oser Al Yedei Maisa, or not. In other words, if it's Al Yedei Maisa, then Adam Dosa Davar Sheinu Shelo. That's a Shita. And the Rambam typically paskins that way. So then you have a very interesting situation. You know, if you have, let's say, garmi, right? Does that count for a maisa such that adamosa davar sheinu shelo? Not in kalayim. So that might be another indication, like that for the Rambam, garmi is not a maisa. It's not equivalent to maisa diyavad. That there is a hierarchy. I was wondering about the Rambam. But just to another couple of examples that I've mentioned in the past, right, there's an interesting argument between the Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchos Chovel, Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Aleph. Meshachrer, you know, like you have Eved Chavero, which is an apotiki, right? Because you have an Eved that's a strong shibud, you know, for the repayment of some sort of obligation. So let's say, you know, the Bailin, you know, is Meshachra the Eved. Is Meshachra the Eved, there goes the Apotiki. It's kind of the equivalent of Soref Shtarosav Shalchaveiro, which is Garmi. But it's a little different than Soref Shtarosav Shalchaveiro in that the person who undermines your value is actually the owner of that object. I mean, Sor Shorot Shtaroso Shachaveiro means, you know, Ruvain is holding a Shtarchov on Shimon. And Levi burns Ruvain's Shtarchov. Right? But here we're talking about, you know, Ruvain owns an Eved. You know, that Eved is an apotiki that's going to help out Shimon. And Reuven is Meshachar, the Eved. Reuven is doing something to his own property. The Rambam calls that Dina Chayev. You have it over there? Yeah. What did I say? Zion. It was called Lamazik. Zion it up. Actually, the Rambam speaks about a lot of these issues. What's the Ravid say? So the Ram says that's like Soros Shorosa Shalchadero. He causes him a hefsed. My shichur eved causes my neighbor hefsed mama. Right. So does it matter really? Not for the Rambam, obviously. But it does for the Ravid. What's the issue? So again, the more you see Garmi or Grama Chayiv, right, because of the effect, you know, but not as a Maisa Hezek, but as a Gram Hefsed, or even as a Grom Hezek a little bit, you know, but not necessarily as an extension of Mazik. Who cares? You know, what I did undermined, caused a loss to my neighbor, directly as Sorich Nerosa Shafaneira. But if Garmi is supposed to, you know, be what is significant about Maisa B'Adayim, and therefore counts as Maisa B'Adayim, or the equivalent of Maisa B'Adayim, or even if there is a hierarchy, but it's still called the Maisa Hezek Ayde Grama, then it's definitely reasonable to say, well, you can't do a Maisa Hezek on your own object. If you're a Bailim and you're doing something to something that you own, that's not called Hezek. If the formal requirement of Hezek is a fact, in Sarosh Sharosa as well, we've talked about this in the past too, but how much do you pay when you burn, you know, Sharosa Shal Chaveiro? Shalom, how much would you pay? Let's say there's a shtar for $100, and I burn it. What do you think? That's misvara. One possibility is $100.
Or the price of the paper.
Could be the price of the paper. Okay. Certainly, the price of the paper, you don't need Dina de Garmi. Because if I took his paper and I burned it, that's Maisa B'Adayim. Right? Anything else? Let's say I said to you, is there any problem with charging him $100?
No raya.
What do you mean, no raya? Say again? Right. So now he can't collect with the shtar. But did he really lose $100?
No. Never
happened. Well, no. I mean, it's coming to him. He has a right to a collection, and this would make his collection ironclad. Ah. Meaning the most it could be worth is $100. Right? But let's say, as a commodity, is it worth $100? Like, you're a good businessman. Are you in size things? So not a good businessman. That's okay. I'm not even. David, what do you think? Are you in size sims? There you go. How much is the shtar shel chaveiro worth? $100? There's something called, like, you know, you sell debt, but that was the big financial crisis of 2008, because people, there were these swaps or whatever they were called, right? Everybody was, you know, trading these like mortgages or distressed mortgages or all this kind of stuff. Meaning, basically, if I have $100, you know, it's always possible, right? Shalom, you would you enter into a deal with a person who, you know, whose veracity is such, you know, whose level of honesty is such that if you didn't have the shtar, you think he wouldn't pay your debt? I guess it depends how desperate you are with cash. Right? Mostly you wouldn't. Right? So if I have to be gove a chove, right, $100 chove, and I have $100 shtar that allows me to do that more easily because, you know, let's say he says, I paid you. So we say, shtar chabiyani my boy. I've got it. You didn't pay me, and I have the shtar. Shtar chabiyani my boy. If I paid you, then you would have been, you would have a shovar, you'd have a receipt, or you would have torn up the shtar. There are actually two values to a shtar. We'll talk about this. One value is if it's consequential for shibud nechasim, right? And the other value is in terms of raya, like you said before, right? If the fellow decides to be dishonest or is his faulty memory. But is it really worth $100? Yehuda, what do you think? How much is it worth? Okay, but I would say who I go to borrow from and what his level of honesty is might depend on what other access I have or how bad I need the money. But how much does the shtar, what's the other worth of the shtar? You're right. What Shalom said is true. There's the value of the piece of paper. That's not play here. That's mazik b'adayim. is the full value, that's the maximal value, but is it really the maximal value? Well, put it this way.
Subjective value.
There's a certain subjective value. How would you measure it?
I mean, based on you borrowed money
from. Yeah, you have to know who you borrowed it from. You know, how what the attitude, you know, in the society in which you live is about, you know, defaulting on loans and so on. I mean, there's an actuarial aspect to all this, or maybe it isn't actuarial, but it's, you know, it's an assessment. Like, there's it's a whole industry, you know, to try to value, you know, this kind of a thing. I saw, I was giving the example of the mortgages, right? People buy mortgages, you know. They don't buy them for the face value of the mortgage. That would be crazy. Because it's only worth something if the people don't pay. So let's say most people are honest. We hope that that's true. Let's say 80% of the people are honest. Okay, so you're the shtar that was, when I destroyed your shtar, there's still an 80% chance that you're getting back your full $100. So I didn't cause you a $100 loss. I caused you a $20 loss. And in this society or that society, that could change, right? Meaning there is a value to having a shtar. There's a raya value. It means there's a piece of paper value. There's the chuv, the face value of the chuv. And there's also a value, right, to the raya as a raya. Now, whether that's going to be 80% or 20% depends on a lot of different factors, right? When Reb Chaim speaks about in the Kiddushim al Hashas, when he speaks about, you know, Gnevas Shtar, he talks about these three different levels. You know, what are we talking about? I mean, if you steal a piece of paper, you know, the value of the paper is like a watch. Or any other, it's not a shtar, it's not a din in shtaros. Right? But what about the raya value of it? Is that ptur shtar? That's an interesting question. But that's not for now. For now, it's important to know that there's a huge machlokas are shown in. When you say sorish shtaros or shochaveh or chayiv, whether you pay the face value of the chov, I mean the $100, or you pay the $20 or the $60 or whatever. But in part, that also depends, right? I mean, are you damaging the shtar? Is the chepsa shel shtar the issue? Like I mentioned before, the Ramban is trying to explain the difference between davar gor lamamon, kamamon dami. And Garmi says, you know, typically davar gor lamamon requires davar shi karo mamon. Because it's really a way of establishing bailos, or what is this worth to you? What's your stake in it? Right? And that's what he adds, that point. That's what he means by it. Oh, even if it's even according to the manu, you don't need ikara mamon. So when you the shtar is like a value, but did he mean it's a $100 value? You know, on a grubba level, or it's a $20 value. So all of these issues and more depend on how you really understand even the garmi. You know, and whether you look at it as a maisa hezek biyadayim or practically or completely. Or whether what you're saying is, it's grand hefset. How much is the hefset? How much is the hefset shishtar worth as a raya? How much is, or is this an indirect way of damaging, you know, the loan? This potential damage to $100, right? So these are very important questions. Again, the Tosfos written about Zara Madura Tlisa says, you know, Rav Meir is Garmi, is the author of Mechitzas Kerem Shanifritza. It's like a baisa, it's like Gira Diday, in that sense. And here, it's like, you know, it's all the second day, it's like Mimela, Loasa Maisa. Okay. So, this is all very relevant to what we've been discussing. Okay, let's finish up. Finally, okay, the Dover Gorim, I'm not going to get to the Shavuos, except to mention the joke on the bottom of page 122, which I mentioned the other day, in case people weren't you know, that this case is so dominant that I was trying to make the point that even when he makes a joke, he quotes the, he talks about the relationship between Dover Gor LeMamon and the sugya in Shavuos Daf Lamed Gimel, which a couple of you were here, we learned Shavuos a couple of years back, like 4 years back, 5 years back? We don't know. When was it? It was a few years ago. When was it? Four? Four. So the sugya Daf Lamed Gimel talks about Dover Gor LeMamon as a deaf, very different meaning. And the Ramban here in Kuntestina de Garmi and the Rajba point that out. They say, don't be misled by the language. It's really, really off. But then he says at the bottom here, Umisha Dima Shneid. And by the way, the Rajba does too, although in the opposite direction. The Rajba in Shavuot stuff on the Gimel. But then the Ramban makes a joke. In the end, he says, Misha Dima Shneid Dvarmelo V'Irvan Chai Mishum Kalai. So I'm maintaining that, like, he's obsessed with the Kalayim case. It's a terrific line, of course. Okay. Then, when he tries to explain, like, what is Garmi as opposed to Dover Gor LeMamon, let me talk about that for one more minute. What is Garmi as opposed to Dover Gor LeMamon? So, the more you think that Garmi is a substitute or an expansion of, or is the essence of Maisa B'Yadayim, right? The easier it is to explain the difference, you know, which in some cases appears quite subtle, between Garmi, which is Chayiv, and Grama, which seems to be Pater. Because in one case, you know, you have at least Maisa Hezek, you know, maybe a Maisa, the other place is no Maisa, it's just the result, or it's Hezek as opposed to Hefsed. On the other hand, the more you think, you know, that Garmi is Betoras, you know, Grama, the result, and it isn't a Maisa Gram Hefs, even of Hezek, never mind Mamish Kibiyodayim, or the equivalent of Kibiyodayim. You know, so then you have to explain, you know, the Grama cases a little bit differently, because both Garmi and Grama are about the bottom line and the effect, right? It's easy to say, oh, Grama, there's no Maisa, there's no Maisa Hesed, there's just a Hesed. It's much harder to say that if basically Garmi is that too. So then you have to say other things like, oh, it has to do, again, either Hesed or Hesed, but it has more to do with, you know, is this exclusively your achrayus, or are there too many contributing and other contingencies or factors or variables? Now, this is all on me, even if it isn't a Maisa Hezek. That's why I'm chayyim. That's why I mean. But cases of grama that are patur, it's because, you know, it's not just an absence of a Maisa or a Maisa Hezek, you know, it's the confluence that dilutes even my responsibility or my association with the results. Is everybody with me on that? So the Ramban, this of course is a massive discussion of halitosis all over the place in the Rush, and of course the Ramban, like what technically demarcates Grama, which is Pater, and Garmi, which is Chayiv. So here on page 127, the Kodesh Ramban says, "V'zeh tam l'kol elu, klal gadol yeh b'yadecha," it's a few klal gadols, "kol ha-goreim u'machmas gramaso b'hezek," right? It's causal, but, right, this is a single cause, and a compelling, you know, cause. I mean, it's a predictive cause. It has to end up this way. The Eino Toli Bedas Acherim El Veshah Shegaram Bo Hezek. Already from the moment of Goreim, it's inevitable. Doesn't depend on other things. Oshu Asud Lavo, or it's, you know, it isn't now, but it's inexorable. Kigon Zeh Chayev Rameh. V'nikra B'gavara Bari Hezekah. The example of one of the cases, Torah Menesek. Afa Pishacha Kachu Mishalim. So, the Chain, of course, the Mechitza Sakerim Shenifritza, Shebishah Shenisyaish Mimenu, Goram Lezah Nezek. Not he put in motion. That's why it says a Gnikar, by the way. Shaharea Gefanim Gedelim Mahochin Uvisarvin. And then finally, two more quick ones. What to talk about very quickly, but very important question. The Ramban has an important principle, which I think flies probably contradicts the Ramban. Right? And that is, do we care whether the cause, you know, and the effect are related? Not in fact, you know, but more, let's say, conceptually, in principle. So it's like this. Hayodeh Be'edus is on page 129. I told you this up, this one up. Hayodeh Be'edus Chaver of Eino Meidlo. Read this again. Baba Kama, Kones. And again, for the Shavuos people, this is a crucial question, the key of Haggadah. Let's say you're supposed to come to court and give testimony and you don't. So, this is a Machlokas Rishonim, actually, whether you're Chayiv in that case. The Pashtus of the Gemara Kones, and most Rishonim understood it, you're Potter. Right? It's a Grama. Hayudeh Be'edus Chaver Be'enu Meid Lo Ibechad Be'lchud, of course, Lo Aviv Lamid. The Duma Hava Mishtabea, right? Hey, Umiftar, right? Miu Trei Nami Miftari. How do you know? Dakshina Be'gemara, this is the Gemara Nunvav in Baba Kama, right? A Ptur B'dei Adam, Echai B'dinei Shemayim. I Betrei Doraisahu. Lo Akshina De Betrei Amai Potter B'dinei Adam. Okay? Not always sure to accept that Diuk. So some of them say, in Achanami, if you withhold two Yadim know and withhold their testimony, they are Chayiv for the consequence. But the Ramban and most Rishonim made this Diuk in the Gemara. The Tanya B'tosefta to Shavuos, Chenamash B'yasa Edim, Adar B'sheish B'shavu Kruta V'kafru, Re'le Chayavim Korban, U'pturim Min Amamo. Why are they Potter Min Amamo? Says the Ramban, an important Yisod, again, with two ingredients. Tama de Milsa Sha'af, who ain't a chayiv lahoy dala bidin gemilas chasadim? The chiddush of the Ramban that the chiyav agada is only bidin chesed shechiva torah lahoy v'im baratzal lekayim osa mitzvah ain't menadin lechayiv mamon. There's no chiyav mamon to do chesed. Right? It's a chovas chesed. Not everybody agrees that the chiyav agada is a chiyav chesed. Okay. But his bigger chiddush is, if that's true, right, then a chiyuv chesed can never cause a gorem mamon, even if it directly results in a hefsed. Mashein came, once again, binisyai shemenu velo gedara, the kivin shu chayiv chiyuv mamon, ligdor velo gadar, vinisyayish Kayev. Interesting. The chiyuv to be goder in kilayim is also a chiyuv mamon, according to Ramban. Not just a chiyuv kilayim. A chiyuv to prevent the hefsed. That's a chiddush. That chiddush is formulated to solve this problem because of his view. Sharehu maziko b'yeyush u'gefanav heima osrim. V'hu agorim ha'isur. Again, triple formulations. Ava misha ena rotsa lahayin patur. She ena lev chiyuv mamon. El midarok milz chasod. You might have thought that here's a chiyuv kilayim. But I guess since kilayim itself is a davar hamafsid, right? Ramban perceives it as, you know, your chiyuv is, you know, to avoid, or your iser is, to be Makdish Asamalea, to be Osa the Gefanya. Isn't just, oh, you violated Caesar, there's Irvuv, there's something else. Very fascinating. Vimena Rotsa Litroa, Kolatzil, in the case of the Eden, was that in a Chayim. Lemazadoma, Lemisharot, fascinating. Kiso Shol Chavero Oved, the Eno Matzilo. Omishena rotz olitin pruta mishalo laani. Ein doesn't bechayv in also bekak. Even though it's a chiyuv kasan. Avkan ein doesn't bechayv in also l'shalom mibeisa sholichivas haTorah bekak. Ela kashar mitzvos izu leino bidin mamo. Avaman detzir pumhon desahadi delo yisadun. If somebody closes it, prevents them from testifying. Kagon shara ina megalgen uboyin lahayin etc. The gormulei lahafsid yeshlam adiur chayiv midin dina de garmin. Because not a third party doesn't have the right to prevent people who want Mishum Chesed to come and save somebody's money. Very interesting distinction. But again, one thing that emerges, the Yisod is, if you have a Chiyuv, now again, what would the Ramah say about this? The Ramah who said, Shamina Mina, if you have a Chiyuv to build a wall, and you didn't build it for some other reason, you know, and then somebody, a thief came and stole, you know, they're chayav for that. Wow. What would he say about, so he still might say that there's a difference between a chiyav mamon, you know, and a chiyav chesed. Chesed is a chiyav. There are different ways, or it's a chiyav, but there are different ways to fulfill it. Right? That's different than when you have a more specific obligation. But either way, the description of Kilaya Kerim as being a chiyuv mamon, right, is very fascinating. Yeah. In the footnotes here, actually, say quotes again of Chana Vasim in Vavasr Osir Beisid Gimel. Dafka chiyuvo ligdor mishumar chokas nezakin, but I don't think that's true for the Ramban. Right. That's not what the Ramban says about Vavasr. But I think it's because he thinks that part of the Oser in Kalayim is the fact that you're destroying the field. You make it economically, you're being mazik. Kilayah Kerem itself is a kind of a mazik din. Okay, and then finally, the one that Yitzhak mentioned to me, we were talking about whether or not the Ramban, when he says this thing about Gira Delay and so on, or Ala Nizak Laharchik, how much emphasis he's putting on Kilayah Kerem as an Oser. So Yitzhak brought to my attention that I missed one. Okay? And that's towards the very, very, on page 141. That's the one? Yeah? On right towards the end of the, at the very end of the piece, he comes back to it again. The Koshalach, Gavim Bechitzos, Kerem Shemifritza, Lema, Alecha, Laharchik, Esatzmecha, which he mentions already in the beginning, as we know, 2 days in the Ramban. Is it because of Kilayim? Or is it because this is Lo Ali B'Drab Yossi? My Shno B'Drab Yossi, D'Amar Al Nizak, L'Harchik, V'Leikin Meim Adil Rab Yossi, and Yizik Kahilon, etc. Oh. Ela Hainu Taima, D'Shayni Mechitza Sakeren, D'Kivin Shiyesh Bo Yisr Kilayim, Chayiv Ligdor. Again, not Mishum Abbas HaSadah. The chaveru pater miligdor shu betok shalom who omid ben abavik vula shal chaveru. Avoze shu babik vulo olav ligdor machmas sheosur laarev hagafanim betvua. Doesn't sound like, you know, the tvua is marching. It sounds like, right, that's the oser is of the balakarim because he's being the one who's being ma'arvev ligafanim through yeusha. The kivin shalom godar v'nisyai shkayv l'shalom kid kosvina le'al. Okay, so
isn't this like a Metzias point that like vines grow into other
I don't think he's I think that's what I originally thought, but it sounds like he's partially at least invoking like his idea again you can look at it, but it sounds like he's also invoking his, you know, general idea, you know, that Yeush equals Irvuv equals Hezek or Nezek, that's part of the story. And again, when you put it together with the fact that he thinks that that's kind of part of the Mominus, I think it's a really interesting little combination. So these are the Rambans. Let me speak another minute about Gira Delay. So just one more thing just about the Gira Delay. Again, what emerges from the Ramban, as I said the other day, is that in general, Rishonim about Gira Delay in the Sugya, as we discussed, is that there are some who understand that Gira Delay, you know, kishmokeinu. It's like kumbase, it's mazik, like, you know, mamish, shooting out the chitzim. And, of course, for those who think that Hezekiah's gira delay, getting back to Hezekiah, everybody remembers that, you know, that's very consequential, either in terms of being a bisha, or just how we perceive the importance of privacy, etc. But equally, there's a group of Rishonim whose application of gira delay, maybe even to Hezekiah as well. Although, again, you could say gira delay and think that you don't need so much, and you could still think that in Hezekiah you have so much, which you make that point too. But there are a lot of Rishonim across the sugyas in the first two prakam of Bava Basra who think that gira delay is not a kumbase, and that gira delay is not really mazik. Biadai. And what it is instead, as I said before, is kind of what differentiates the mazik and the nizak in this kind of struggle that they have. Another way to say that is, it's a harkakas nizakin issue. Because instead of saying gira delay takes a harkakas nizakin bava basra issue and turns it into a bava kama issue of mazik, like going back to our very hakdama, and going back to our discussions of Iksos and Nesivas and so on, which is one way to look at gira delay, and that would require a certain very high, rigorous standard of gira delay. Instead of saying that, you know, it's, oh no, this is a Bava Basra din, it's a Harchakas Nezakin din. There's this back and forth, you know, subtly, who's going to, you know, have the burden here? You have two good candidates. You know, he's Osa B'tok Shalo, not really a Mazik. Yes, chiyuve harchakas nezakin, hukoshkeinim chiyuvim. You know, and the other guy, you know, he is the victim, right? But he's not the victim because, you know, of any. It's kind of a mimela kind of a thing, and you know, let him do a little ishtadlus and protect himself. So you know, when you have gira delay is like, you know, the difference maker. It makes me the mazik, and you the nizik, or it makes a mazik, like makes the chiyuv of harchakas nezakim a chiyuv on me, not a chiyuv on you. Or, like I said yesterday, or 2 days ago, sorry, it determines that the nezek isn't the davar de mimela, you know, although it came from, you know, its origins, you know, can be traced to my behavior, but that my behavior in my own property, which is totally, you know, acceptable, and therefore the parts that, you know, are detrimental to you are davar de mimela. Or no, it's always mikochi. It always traces back to me. That's what gira delay does. Gira delay helps differentiate in a subtle way, you know, where there is this kind of subtlety, you know, crying out for a resolution and clarification, you know, etc. So, again, the idea of the Ramban, whether you're saying gira delay or whether you're saying you can substitute, doesn't matter gira delay because the Iser Kalayim is Kodeya or the Iser Kalayim is gira delay. Doesn't really matter so much. It's that kind of idea. Then I think I mentioned you should look at the Ramban and Chav Beis Amud Aleph originally. Yeah. So the Ramban and Chav Beis Amud Aleph just happens to be very consistent with this. There the Ramban has a very significant expansion of what constitutes gira delay. There he says even what determines gira delay as if it was kvar hizik yavder asher. No, dirasa lema. Lema.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
What? I think so. Yeah. Go ahead. Slow. What's he saying? Gira delay is not measured at the time of the so-called Maisa Hezek. Or maybe there is no Maisa Hezek. Correct? What is it? It's whether there's a shame mazik, correct? From before. Who cares? The answer is because if there's a shein mazik, you know, then it isn't a davar de mimela. And then that just changed. Then there's a greater chiyuv of harkakas nezakin because there's a mazik. It has a lot to do with all the questions of, you know, samach, lo samach, before a guy came along, you know, those kind of issues as well. So I think a very interesting, this would maybe open up, but this also just a way of explaining a little more, Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar. Did I give you Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar? I think I did, right? On this? On Gedor? No? Josh is looking at it.
I don't know. I don't see it.
Okay. If you didn't see it, probably I didn't give it to you. Okay. So I thought I put it in the list, the original list. Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar, right, seems to, again, be operating with, is operating on this question, right? You know, what about Rabbi Yossi? Is that there? Go ahead. Let me say it this way. Our Tosis, as we know, says that it's Bira Delay because of Avodas Hakerem, which is not the way I understood Rashi exactly, is what we talked. Right? Tosis in Bava Kama expands a little more. Oh, because, you know, Chashash, you'll go into it. So a Chashash creates Gira Delay. And Avodas Hakerem creates a Gira Delay for Kilayim. But again, if it's all din in the balance within Achakas Nezakin, that's very understandable. I wouldn't say very understandable. It's understandable. Good. And others hold out for a much more vigorous Gira Delay. But the Rabbeinu Tam has a very interesting line. Go ahead. What's the line? To explain. He doesn't say Gira Delay. Exactly. He doesn't say Avodas Hakerem. Is that the one? What is it?
Or
he calls it Garni, no? Yeah. But here he says because it's Garni. Correct? So what does Garni have to help you? I think the answer is, if what he's saying is the whole sugya of Alan Yizik Alamazik, that's our Chakas Nezakin problem. But once you're talking about Garmi, you're talking about Bava Kama. Of course, that's Alan Mazik Laharkik. I think that's just a very important principle. Contrast that with the Rama, who has such a wide perspective on Garmi, right? Very sharply contrasted. Okay, so that's as far as Kilayim. We have a couple of bits I wanted to start for the sake of starting. Then we can move forward. Go ahead. So now let's move to Gimel Amud Aleph. Yeah, one second, before you do, what did I give you so far to look at in Sudar? Say it again? I gave you to look at Rabbeinu Gershom Ravon, Rosh Rambam Michel Shechinim, Tur Simen Kufayin Gimel. Yeah, his take on the Rambam.
You didn't give us the Torah.
Oh, okay. Look at the Tur Simen Kufayin Gimel's take on the Rambam. That's important. Nimuke Yosef the Rama Oskavav. Okay. And then I gave you Rambam the end of Parakei Chos Mechira. And Chav Beis Yib Gimel Fi Yidalit Shluchin. Those I gave? Gimel Vav Dalet Beis. And then Chuvas Arim, Chuvas Rimigash. Bumbet Siyat Sadi Dalet. Tosis on the Roshin. Ksuvas Yim Dalet on the Beis. Very quickly. Some of them spoke very quickly. Bav Basra Kuf Mem I gave? No. So we should also look at Bav Basra Kuf Mem on the Beis. HaOmer and Pelet Ishti Zachar. And the Rimigash Dibra Maskel HaOmer. And the Nimuke Yosef there, or the Ritva. And also a little bit on Kinyan Etain. That's Avodah Zarah Ayin Beis of an Aleph. It's referred to by the Ramban, or Nimuke Yosef, here in Bava Basra, and also the Gemara in Gittin Mem Omid Beis. Omer Nasati Sada Plonis. I'm just trying to show you different cases that are candidates for Kinyan Dvarim Bialma. Okay? And the Magen Mishnah is Chia Chesvav. and the Ksos Resh Vav Aleph and the Nesivos Resh Vav Base. Okay, let's start with that. Then I may expand it to some of the broader questions of Sudar. Okay, we'll start with Kinyan Dvarim, then we'll go to Sudar. Okay, so Yonatan, go ahead, read the Gemara for us. Now we're going to try to move much more quickly, but it's very packed topics. Yeah. Go ahead.
So if I put the
Why can't she be chozer? Yeah, go ahead.
So Amar Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shekanumi Yada, the Fisha Kanumi Yada, my Avi Kinyan Dvarim Amadu.
Oh, so that's a key line. Yeah.
So the Shekanumi Yada and the Ruchos. Rabbi Asi Amar Kegon Shehalach Zeh B'Toch Shalom V'Hechzik Zeh B'Toch Shalom V'Hechzik.
Okay. So what do you think is going on in this Gemara?
So basically, we're asking in this case, it's a small yard, they want to divide, there's always the ability for them to retract in such an instance.
Even if they agree to divide, why can't they be chozer? Why can't they retract their agreement? In which case, right. So the answer is, so the Gemara is trying to figure out a way where the commitment is binding, right? So the Gemara says, oh, kana biyada. Then the Gemara says, that's Kinyan Dvarim Bi'Alma. And then the Gemara gives two other answers, right? Either they were Cholek Beruchos, that somehow solves the problem, or it's a case of Kinyan Chazak. Good. So, it's just very important to know that is this the only Gemara, practically, that says, that uses the expression Kinyan Dvarim Bi'Alma? Right? That's a remarkable thing. Or to highlight it and to say it in a slightly different way, right? There appear to be other kinyanim out there, other gemaras out there, which could have been candidates for this, you know, same accusation. What do you mean, a kinyan dvarim bi'alma? Right? And they're not. Well, what's so unique about this case, this Gemara? It could be that we'll, upon examination, determine that it is much more, you know, expansive. Okay, what's a pasha? What is Kinyan Dvarim Bi'Alma? Why is it Kinyan Dvarim? How would you translate, just superficially? Basically, obviously, we have to go a little more in depth, but what would you say?
Basically, the transaction was only verbal, and therefore she had it. So
okay, number one is verbal. There was no action.
It was like a tangible.
But, oh, okay. Meaning, if the problem is the transaction was only verbal, or the what's being transacted, you know, is not concrete enough, right? Or is it really a transaction? You know, it's more. I mean, the simple pshat in Kinyan Dvarim Bi'Alma is, and that's what we have to figure out, is that what the Gemara is saying is, listen, a kinyan, you know, which is binding, is not applicable to all situations. Right? A kinyan has a certain connotation, and it requires certain standards to be applied in certain kinds of transactions. Number one, as I say, certain kind of transactions, and in addition to certain kinds of transactions, probably also technically certain conditions. Right, but even before you get to that, and some of the conditions may need, you know, to be more explicit or more concrete, you know. But even to get, let's take the first point, which is like more basic for the moment, you know, you can't necessarily make a kinyan on everything or anything. And in many cases, you know, where you are making a kinyan, you know, it may look like there's no legal change. Or no legal heftza upon which the kinyan is being made. I don't mean, you know, an object per se. I mean an essence, a legal essence, right? It's just a like a commitment. Like if I agreed, you know, we talk about something and I agree to do something, which is essentially what we're talking about here. So that agreement, like, is a legal moment. Like, let's say all I'm saying, I'm not going to be chozer, I promise. I commit, I'm going to do it. You know, why isn't that just called a promise? Every time you make a promise, I mean, you don't make a promise with a kinyan. Every time you make a promise with a kinyan, it's binding. Right? So in a way, if I say, you know, we both commit, or, you know, we're going to break up this partnership. Okay, but nothing has happened. We don't even know who's getting what. So is that just a promise? Is chayvus bi'alma, a avtacha? There might be value to avtacha and to is chayvus. Not saying there isn't. You know, dvarim have value, right? You know, some dvarim are binding, shiduchim, let's say. Right? Hil dvarim, you know, sheniknim ba'mira. Okay? Some dvarim are, you know, commitments, you know, like a mishapara, you know, has even a certain legal status. That's even like a typical mishapara, if it's accompanied by a kinyan, you know, mamon, or mamon, which isn't kone, but, so that's stronger. You know, we expect people to live up to their word, of course. Midvar shekar tirchak, you know, chosamo shalakarish baruchu emes. You know, people should for sure follow through on their commitments, but that doesn't mean it's binding. It doesn't mean you can't be chozer necessarily. So in order not to be chozer, there has to be some sort of a legal, you know, change that took place, or one would think. So the Gemara originally thinks, no, you made a promise and you made a kinyan sudar to back up that promise. Like you notarized your promise, you formalized your promise. And now the Gemara is saying, or is that what the Gemara is saying? What was the Havamina? Is what I'm trying to ask. The Havamina was that if you, you know, even if there's no legal, formal, present change, right? Nonetheless, a promise, a commitment, not to be chozer, to do something, if it's backed up by a kinyan, is binding? A kinyan can apply to that? Maybe, we'll see. Either way, the Gemara jumped in pretty quickly and said, no, that's kinyan dvarim bi'alma. I'll have to see why. But the simple pshat, the initial pshat, let's say, is, no, there's a difference between a havtaka and a chayvus stam, and a kinyan. Typically, a kinyan is something totally different, right? It's about, you know, a change. Now, I've said many times, and this is really important for this subject too, people associate kinyanim with ownership, with bibles, right? That's also not accurate. It probably is true that, you know, the large bulk of kinyanim out there are about ownership, or involve a change in ownership. I wouldn't say that's a coincidence, but it's not a legal definition either. Really, really, kinyanim are about establishing a certain kind of legal status or relationship. Right? We talk about kiddushei isha, kicha kicha mistei apron, and some people get, you know, very excited about it. You know, it's a misconception, you know, based on you know, not fully appreciating what a kinyan is. Right? Kinyan is not an acquisition, just that all acquisitions require a kinyan. It's not about ownership, sovereignty. It's about changing a legal status or developing a legal, you know, bond between things. Okay, so if it doesn't require changing reshuyos or creating a different owner, right? Does that mean like anything goes? That, you know, by any commitment, you know, which is supported by, you know, a kinyan, you know, becomes binding? But that's a different extreme. Probably not. Probably a promise is a promise. Commitment is a commitment. They have their own status, but that they are not kinyanim. So when, you know, again, so anytime, like, you know, an obvious legal change can and does take place, even if it's not exactly you know, transfer or ownership, that's a good candidate for a kit. But once you move into gray area, are there certain commitments that are not just promises not to back out or promises to do something in the future, but that are ready change and or are chal in the present or attach themselves, you know, if not fully as a kinyan, you know, to some sort of legal entity? That's the question. Maybe the Gemara didn't just think, I'm not sure. It's hard to pin this part down. When the Gemara said, oh, you made a kinyan, I think there are two ways even to understand that one. One way is the Gemara was saying, yeah, any commitment that you make, any promise that you make, any eino chozer that you make, at least any promise, if it's more than an eino chozer, can be buttressed, you know, by a kinyan to be binding. That's a very fascinating habit. If that's true, you know, then again, the comeback, which is, that's kinyan dvar mi'alma, is very understandable. And then you have to figure out, okay, but is there any promise commitment, you know, that can be? The other way to say it is that the Gemara never ever thought that. Right? The Gemara thought that maybe there's something about this particular promise, you know, that has a certain legal stature already. And then the Gemara says, how's it go? How's it going again? V'chikan v'yadu ma'yhava kinyan dvar mi'almavu. So the Gemara is saying, in this particular case where you thought that the commitment has a legal element, it's not really true or not sufficient. Okay, let me explain. So the Gemara's answer is b'shakana miyada beruchas. Right? Understand? So that also is a line that can be understood in one of two ways. Right? Probably for most Rishonim, kana miyada beruchas means what?
Who gets which part?
Who gets which part, or are they actually made a kinyan? Yeah, in other words, the Gemara goes, according to most Rishonim, probably, when the Gemara says, you know, it's me katze le katze. Originally, the Gemara thought that this is a kinyan dvarim and not promise. Now the Gemara is saying, this is a regular kinyan. What really happened here was, when they agreed, right, to split their partnership, I'm going to stop in one more minute, when they agreed to split their partnership, you know, they each made a kinyan suitor with the details for right now. You know, they did it already. He said, I'm getting the east side and you're getting the west side, you know, and so on. And they made a kinyan suitor. Shalom Yisrael. No chiddush in that kinyan ruchos. Okay, that still leaves us wondering, you know, what about all the cases? If this is a regular kinyan, you know, is there anything like a kinyan dvarim that's more than Dvarim, but isn't a regular kinyan? But there's another way to read the Gemara. Maybe, Yonatan, and that is, Bishakana miyada beruchos means what? They didn't do anything right now. The kinyan isn't chal. It's not a regular kinyan. But it's more concrete than we thought. You know, we thought they just agreed, you know, in an amorphous way, in an ambiguous way, without any details, not even who's going to get what side. Oh, we'll split our partnership. We're going to split up. And if that could be subject to a kinyan, that's not true. But if it has more detail, it's more katsuv. Is that the only problem? Maybe. Or that highlights that this is not just an agreement lolachs or an agreement to do something in the future. Something is already you know, been designated in the present, then that kind of kindedvar works. But it isn't a regular kingdom. What's the next line of the Gemara? Yeah. Again, I mean, so, there are two questions to ask that we shouldn't discuss. One is, what do we need Rav Ashi for? What's wrong with the first answer? Or is this just two different hypotheses? Right? Now, if you say the first answer is, oh, they made a regular kinyan, Shalom al Yisrael. Nothing more to say here. We now know kinyan dvarim doesn't work. Kinyan ragil works. You don't have much clarity on anything in between. Right? So then, Rav Ashi is some other hechitimtzi, or it wasn't kinyan zuder, he was a chazaka. Good. We'll get back to the second. But if we take the view that when the Gemara says kinyan ruchos, that is a kind of kinyan dvarim, I don't mean literally, you know, that crosses the Rubicon from kinyan dvarim, even though it isn't a kinyan ragil, right? So then you might think that Rav Ashi is there because that isn't so poshut that that isn't kinyan dvarim. Let's say we split up, we agree to split up the partnership and we agree, you know, beruchos. You know, does that resolve the problem of kinyan dvarim b'alma completely? Maybe Rav Ashi says no. Moreover, there is a huge discussion in the Rishonim regarding Rav Ashi. So forget why we need Rav Ashi. Namely, Yonatan, you'll take Tosis just to highlight it. Yeah, that's assuming that there's nothing no Kiddush of the Kinyan, and that he agrees with that, right? That's point number one. And you're the read. What's he saying?
So he's basically saying that despite what we said in Kol Basra, that if you find the land, it's not one, if it's not really the fun of, you still have to say Lech Chazek Mi in this case. And here, since they divvied up the different directions.
Look at the Rashbam and Nun Gimel, and look at the other Rishonim here, the Rosh, Ruka Yosef, the Rashba, the Ramban, what they say about all this, Agos Maunios. So basically what Tosis is saying is that the Rav Ashi here is a chiddush, is a bit of a chiddush. Meaning this is not your typical Lechazei Kukni. Correct? And there are other Rishonim who don't disagree with these pratim, but they say, they have an alternative, you know, but parallel idea. Like here, the Lech HaZeik, you don't, maybe, the Lech HaZeik of Kni is not, we can drop it. We have to figure that out. Well, how come we could drop it? Right? That's a technicality, it's implicit, or is it a bit of a different kind of a Kenyan here, and why? Other Rishonim say, you know, there's something else going on. That does each one have to make a Kenyan, or is it enough that one of them make a Kenyan? That's interesting. Another qualitative issue. Okay. So, I think that there are two things going on in the sugya. One is, I'm going to say, and then we'll stop. One is, what are the parameters of kinyan dvarim? That's a really important, broad kinyan question. What did I say? Between simply a havtacha or a commitment without any kind of legal status or change or present, that's one extreme, to a typical kinyan. What about the in-betweens? And that's what Rishonim discuss on the cases. Masna Shomachimam, right? Leos Kishon. Is that Kinyan Dvarim? Nothing happens right now. Right? It's all future oriented. It's all talk. It's a commitment. What's the difference between that and, you know, Lonely Head there from Chalukah? And what about Kiblu Alive? So it's on Hedron Daf Chavdalah. Nemen Layaba, Nemen Layavich, Nemen Gimel Rai. Bakar? Somehow, Konami Yado. Like, what is that? There's no Dintori yet. Right? What is something happening there, or just a, again, commitment not to back out? That's what some of those cases are. And other etain or other things that aren't seen just like commitment. That's what the Mishnah is discussing. That's one question. But I do think that it's a little complicated here by another question. And that is, when two people break up a partnership, and that, I think this question has to be asked separately and in both directions, whether it's kedei chalukah or not kedei chalukah. Right? And the new reality is that each one is going to be an individual owner. To what extent is that identical to starting off from scratch, from a Kenyan point of view? Or is that part of the complicating factor in the sugya as well? Namely, that is it a transfer? I mean, is the previous partnership just the hechitimtzi? And what we're really talking about is how does each person acquire ownership of her property? Or does the previous partnership play a role? It's kind of almost like we're reshuffling, we're reformulating, are we? And that may have consequences in this issue. So I want to pick up on both of these questions.